The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, good. I mean, where to start? Do we start with Jose? Do we start with Trent? Do we start with Man City losing? One of the first messages in this morning was Bielsa for Spurs. And I was actually, that's a good idea.
Oh.
That is interesting, isn't it? Bielsa for Spurs. I'm very intrigued by him, fascinated by him. Of course, look, I've seen a lot of Leeds over the last few years in the Championship. And then when they get promoted, you think, are they going to come to the Premier League and play this way? I was only talking to someone yesterday and they asked me, what has been my standout performance, probably from a promoted side, this season? It just brought me back to, you remember when Leeds played Liverpool at Anfield at the start of the season and they kind of just, nobody knew what to expect from Leeds and they kind of just went all out and attacking and it was just a fantastic end-to-end game. And I think that's all down to Bielsa and what Bielsa's brought in. Apologies there.
All right.
It's just what Bielsa's brought into that Leeds squad. Of course, before COVID hit, I was actually due to go watch Leeds train for a few days because somebody that's working in Leeds in the commercial side used to work at Hull, so I got to know him over the years. But their training is meant to be fascinating in the way he approaches everything from day to day. I don't know if you've seen much of it, but they do a thing twice a week called Murder Ball, which is basically 25 minutes of a straight 11v11 game with balls scattered all around the pitch. And it's just hell for leather. There's no fouls, no nothing. Just run. And you can just see even in their performance today against Manchester City, you just know that if they can stay in the game, they're that, you know, physically fit and in peak condition, all the players, that if a chance does arise, because we know Man City are obviously going to dominate possession, push men forward, that if they can catch them, you know, on the counter-attack, they'll get players forward and they'll get in and they'll get chances. And you can see that, like, prime example is Stuart Dallas. You look at him, like, he's probably been, you know, most underrated player this season in terms of his performances, his work ethic. He plays, you know, 3, 4, 5 different positions for them. And he's always reliable, he's always like a 7 out of 10. And certainly, look, with that, you know, text in this morning, Bielsa for Spurs, it is interesting. Yeah.
I mean, certainly the whole Spurs idea of them being entertainers and at the forefront, which we haven't seen for a little while here, would be restored in one fell swoop. Bielsa obviously can do this in the Premier League, it turns out, because that was one of the things, like, certain English journalists would have been suspicious about whether or not this was actually going to work in the Premier League because, what's it going to be like on a wet Tuesday? It turns out good football is good football is good football.
No, 100%. Then again, you know, it's he has this philosophy. Now, I don't know if you saw Julian Lescott and Rio Ferdinand on BT. I am agreeing with them that sometimes he should probably alter it a little bit. When you go to away to all the big clubs, of course, look, they got a fantastic result against City. But when you're, you know, playing Chelsea away, Manchester United away, Liverpool away, you need to probably tweak one or two things. But they're just phenomenal. I think, you know, with Spurs, they're very hard to watch. And that is down to Mourinho. That's the way he's kind of got them set up. You know, there seems to be some sort of issue going on. He's blaming the players and, you know, they just, it doesn't look like a good fit at the moment. Whereas, you know, if you look back over the last few seasons, Pochettino, everybody liked Pochettino. Even if you didn't support Spurs, he just had something nice about him. They actually played good football. No, they didn't win anything. And that's why Mourinho's inevitably been brought in. But they're not going well, of course. Look, they're dumped out of Europe. You know, they're, 6 points off the top six. Of course, they've got the League Cup final against Manchester City, but you imagine that their focus will reshift after, you know, their defeat. That will be a surprise to them. It's going to be very difficult. And then it's a case like, you know, there's rumours of Harry Kane. If we don't, you know, finish in the Champions League, then Harry Kane is going to want to leave. So big problems ahead for Spurs.
We'll talk a bit more about Spurs in a minute, but is there anything about Man City's performance that would give you pause for concern? Is that just one of those one-off results that happens in a season?
Yeah, I think it's a, I personally think it's a one-off. certainly for them. Look, I know Pep rotated quite a few players, you know, playing Zinchenko in midfield. Like, they left Kevin De Bruyne on the bench. You know, Gundogan, who's been arguably Man City's best player alongside Ruben Diaz, even John Stones. But like, they just, it was one of those, like, you know, he chopped and changed his squad around. He felt they'd have enough to win. It backfired. At the same time, they've been fantastic for the last few months. They built up such a lead. You just imagine it would be kind of back in Sunday morning. Right, lads, let's get focused for the next game. Turn this around and they'll just go back again. That's the beauty of them. They just, I don't think it'll be a case like Liverpool in the sense that, you know, they kind of go on this horrible little run. I think Man City have just too much in the bank. Like I said there, they were, you know, they're changing players and they're rotating all the time.
It's the stereotypical, we've got our eye on Dortmund here and that's literally the only thing that matters because their lead in the league is so much.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And look, we know Manchester City have won the Premier League. It's only a number of matches now and a few points. I think the big one is he has to try and deliver the Champions League. I think that's the big one that the big boys at the top of Manchester City will want. And that's what Pep's brought in to kind of achieve. Now, obviously, of course, he's had a few Premier League titles, but they want the Champions League. So they'll be fully focused on Dortmund.
I did see some Man United fans pointing out that when Aguero scored the goal on the last day of the season to win the league, at this exact same stage, Manchester United were the same number of points ahead Man City are now. And so therefore, history's going to repeat itself. Come on down, Edinson Cavani. Your time is now.
I don't think so. It's too much. I think the way Manchester City are, but at the same time, you know, United's result against Spurs will give them great hope. Like, they're an incredible second half team. I don't know what it is. Like, if you look back to the Brighton game, they were awful first half. Yesterday, I wouldn't say they were awful. They were bang average. Second half, they were fantastic. Some great bits of play. The goals are all very good goals. Even the goal that was disallowed, you know, Pogba's pass to Cavani, his movement. It's a shame for United fans that Cavani's not probably 5 or 6 years younger, because he's a wonderful striker and you can see why he scored so many goals. But I think that's a far too big of an ask for United to catch City.
What's the truth about Manchester United right now?
Like, there's no. It's $1 million question, though, isn't it?
Well, there's not that much. Really? There's not that much pressure on them because they're chasing down Man City. So, Nathan was making this point about it's easy for City because Liverpool aren't chasing them, and so therefore they look amazing. And what would it actually be like for City if there was a rival? But the same question, I suppose, for Manchester United. Like, Pogba looks great again. Like, but there's obviously a contract and they have to decide whether or not to sell him in the summer. And you're like, do you get lulled into this again? Do you keep Pogba? And then next year there's 5-6 months of bullshit with the agent and like 3 months of bad performance and a month out injured. But then the rest of the time he's genuinely world class. Like, I don't know.
I know, I think, I don't want to, I've got to say it. Go on, I'll give it to you. I think maybe the pennies drop with Pogba, you know, in the sense of like, I can't, his contract obviously was due to be up at the end of this season. They kicked in the extension for another year. I think he's kind of like, he's happy, he's comfortable. Ollie's kind of put the arm around him. I always felt that they looked for Pogba for leadership, and I don't think he's that type of player. I don't think he's a leader. I think he's a very good footballer, world-class midfielder. But I think Bruno has kind of come in and took on a lot of that mantle. And I think as well, Harry Maguire has really stepped up the last few months. I think he's performed much better and he's kind of taken on that role as captain. With United, though, they obviously have some fantastic players, but they have moments in games where they smell it and they just score goals. You know, like you look at yesterday, it's just key moments, like with, you know, Fred's, someone, I think it's his second Premier League goal. I don't know, I think he's scored in years. But like the sense of the good knee passing, he finds himself in the box where he never, like even McTominay in his post-match interview laughed and joked that, you know, Fred has got the engine, he's getting forward, and he kind of laughed. Then you look at like Greenwood's cross, Cavani's movement, and then obviously Greenwood is an exceptional young talent. He can go right or left, and once he gets the ball in around that area, you just find ways to, you know, score goals, win games. if they could be more defensively solid. Now, they seem to, you know, the old goalkeeper situation has seemed to flip in Dean Henderson's favour. And, you know, he seems to relish in the challenge of knocking De Gea out. And like you seen yesterday, he makes, you know, I won't say they were all fantastic saves, very good saves though, where he's alert, he's sharp, you know, where Kane has a couple of half chances, you know, he's on the ball. And they just, it's kind of a feel-good factor, I think, at United at the moment. They're performing in, like I said, 45 to 60-minute blocks where they're just outpowering the, you know, their opponents. And you look at it yesterday, their second half performance already, as opposed to their first half, it's night and day. And it's just finding ways to win games, and they look good.
David, how good are United going to look next season when they sign Harry Kane?
Do you know what? It'd be very, very dangerous if they did sign Harry Kane. Now, that's the million-dollar question. Is Harry Kane going to sign for United? Now, there's been a bit of talk, of course, over here in England. The only thing is, Harry Kane is not guaranteed trophies with Manchester United. It's not as if, you know, if he joined Manchester City, you could just see him winning two or three Premier League titles and you could see him scoring 25-plus Premier League goals every year. Whereas United, they are in a transition, because you look at it, there's probably been three different occasions this season where fans, you know, I'm not going to say all United fans, some United fans have called for Ole to be given the boot, and, you know, where he always seems to manage to pick up results here and there that you kind of think, oh no, we'll keep him, this is great. I do, like, obviously I'm not a United fan, I'm looking for the outside, but it does seem to be kind of a feel-good factor. Ole knows how the club, you know, works, whether he's getting advice from Sir Alex or whatever, but he's got them ticking in the right way. Like, and of course, like Jerry, you touched on there, Nathan was saying Liverpool aren't challenging City, but, you know, United have been very good. And imagine, like, if you look back at the start of the season, it was always their away form was keeping them upper on the top of the table. Their home form was awful. Imagine if they had sorted that out earlier on, it could be right up alongside City. So if they were to get Harry Kane, then you'd have to put them as title contenders next year. But do they have the funds for him? Would Tottenham sell to United? Does Harry Kane want to go to United? Who knows?
That point you make about the feel-good factor, I think, is really important. Stephen Doyle had the stat in commentary, or the post-match interview with Billy Perth, saying that United had, I think at that stage, it was 28 points from losing positions. So that would put them, transfer market, to this top of the table, or their table of points won from losing positions in matches. Manchester United at the top, and effectively Man City are joint bottom, because Man City are always ahead in games. But there is something really special to a group never saying die. Now, they put themselves in positions against weaker teams. They concede stupid goals. I get that. But you can more easily fix your defensive problems than you can get team spirit and a culture and all those things. And that's the thing, that Solskjaer being a club legend, it actually means something. And it shouldn't mean something, because Klopp can do the same thing, and he's not a club legend when he walks in the door the first time, but he's obviously one of the world's best managers, and he's arriving with a track record. Solskjaer has had to learn on the job, and he's had an immense amount of problems. So, I mean, I can't but be impressed by how he has got to this stage, given his inexperience, his relative inexperience.
No, but it's a club like Manchester United, is a kind of a family club, and it's run a particular way. I think if you look back, obviously Sir Alex Ferguson had the 26 years, and he'll have set a culture and a way that things should be done. Obviously, when Van Gaal comes in, Mourinho comes in, they'll have tried to change and put their own stamp on it. I think David Moyes was just very unlucky that when he came in, it was kind of like, you've been given the hardest challenge in football, or one of them, to take over from such, you know, a great manager. And I think Solskjaer has now come in and found himself, okay, like bringing in Michael Carrick into the coaching staff, and then you just see Darren Fletcher's been appointed. There just seems to be four or five of, you know, the old guard that have played for years for Manchester United in and around the club, where they know how Manchester United works, and they are able to kind of influence the younger players coming through. They're probably able to influence players, like the first team players who've been around the club, to kind of show them the Manchester United way and show them what it's about. And I think Ollie has that. Of course, Ollie has also brought Mick Phelan back in, who obviously was Sir Alex Ferguson's, you know, assistant for a long time. It just, there's a few boxes behind the scenes that have been ticked correctly, that they're people who understand the club and know what's going on. And that will filter into the players, whether it be, you know, standards off the pitch, on the pitch. And there has been this never say die attitude with United. They always look like they're in games. Of course, when you've got players specifically like Dan James, Rashford, Martial, Greenwood, who've all got, you know, bags of pace, that if there are times in games where we have to defend deep, we know we've got the players to explode up the pitch and get ourselves into the final third. Look, those players are all capable of scoring goals. So there certainly has a thing. And I think Solskjaer does deserve a lot of credit because he's done good work. You know, if you look back, say, 2 seasons ago, United were all over the place. Of course, look, they won the Europa League over with Mourinho. Van Gaal won the FA Cup or whatever. But it was never, like, the Premier League is their baby. You know, they've won it 13 times. That's their trophy and they wanted to bridge the gap. And I think United from last season have improved. And I think they will continue to improve. And I think, you know, now, whether or not they'll win trophies or win that Premier League next season is a big question and it's a big ask of the squad. They certainly are going the right direction under Solskjaer.
Yeah, I to be honest, that's why I had some sympathy with Solskjaer when he was talking about the importance of winning trophies versus the importance of actually building something. Those trophies that Van Gaal and Mourinho won essentially were not signposting them on the direction to anywhere. They were trophies in and of the season. They were a specific moment where the fans could celebrate, but it wasn't actually backed up with a philosophy or a team spirit or some sign of progress. That's why this transfer window is actually going to be the most important one for Manchester United since Ferguson left, because there's room for them, there's a potential for them to bridge the gap into being one of the top three teams, top four teams maybe next year if you include Chelsea, who are going to legitimately at the start of the season think, our squad's good enough to win this.
No, definitely. And I think the point you've just made there is really good about Mourinho kind of and Van Gaal winning trophies. It's almost, if you look at that with Mourinho at Spurs, Spurs have always played nice, attractive football over the last few years under Pochettino. They've always been kind of knocking on doors here and there. Of course, look, the runner-up or finished up close to Leicester a few years ago where everyone felt they should have probably, that was their year to win it. They're losing to Liverpool in Champions League final. That they go and they sign Mourinho thinking, right, he's got a squad to work with. We've been thereabouts. This fella's a proven winner. Like, you kind of tell me, if Mourinho wins the League Cup and they beat Manchester City, that'll be great. That'll be the silverware. But if they don't finish in the top four, it's kind of like, have we just, like as you said there about Solskjaer, building something for the future, not, like Mourinho then will say, well, I've delivered trophies. This is what you employed me for. This is what I'm here for. But it is about the big picture and can you kind of get a balance of both? And certainly, like if you were to weigh it up, that if Mourinho was to win the League Cup, they don't finish top four and United obviously continue to go on this, you know, on a form they're in, who knows how they'll do in the Europa League if they'll actually go on and win it. But if they're moving in the right direction, you'd have to ask yourself, would you rather be supporting Spurs or would you rather, you know, be supporting Manchester United, who seem to be, there's a bigger picture and they're building in the right direction. That, like you said, if they are to recruit top, you know, some, I think they still probably need a partner for Harry Maguire, centre half. Of course, look, people will highlight the central midfielders, the holding midfielder. Can they get a world-class experienced player? And then they probably need to, you know, address the striker situation. But if they were to sign, you know, three of those players, and they could be really, title contenders and really challenging Manchester City next year. But it'd be a case of, would you rather be supporting Spurs, like I said, or Manchester United, who seem to be moving in the right direction?
Yeah, to keep it on Spurs for the next couple of minutes, David, as well. Like, you spoke about Jose there, and if they were to go and win the League Cup in a few weeks' time, like, what does that actually change?
Doesn't change anything, really.
Aside from getting their hands on a trophy.
I used to love sitting down watching Spurs. Like, you know, when you see kind of Son, Kane, like you look even at the start of the season, okay, against Southampton, and you know, where they're, you know, Kane is assisting him for the 4 goals and it's all great, and there's kind of a bit of fluidity to it, there's a bit of excitement. Now they're just, it's tough to watch Tottenham. It really is. You know, they've got some fantastic players, but even like prime example is Ndombele in midfield. Like I watch him, he's either a 10 out of 10 or he's a 5 out of 10. There's kind of no middle ground with them where you get a consistent performance as opposed to, you know, other players. It's just a case of our Spurs kind of, I won't say like, you know, that whole, are you selling your soul to the devil to win trophies? That you're kind of forgetting everything that you've been known for in the good play. This could be massive pressure because like they've moved stadium. Imagine that wasn't cheap. They don't want to finish in the top four. Like winning the League Cup's not going to sacrifice or like be able to accommodate that really. So it is interesting to see how they progress because I imagine Daniel Levy won't be happy with that, with just, you know, winning the League Cup.
He's clashed with players as well, obviously, at pretty much every club he's been at. But, like, I don't think, from Daniel Levy's point of view, if it's going to come down to Jose Mourinho versus Harry Kane, like, there's only one winner there from a Spurs point of view.
No, 100%. Harry Kane is kind of Tottenham through and through, isn't he? I know there's those stupid things go around the book that he supported Arsenal as a boy, but Harry Kane is Tottenham. And that's the point, is you've seen so many different ex-players, pundits, you know, journalists, everyone saying, like, what should Harry Kane do? Nobody really knows what Harry Kane wants. Of course, there was that article that came out that saying if they don't finish top four, he'll want to move. But it will be proper interesting because if he goes and has a conversation with Daniel Levy, a bit like, you know, you watch the Amazon All or Nothing with Christian Eriksen, it wasn't about the money. He just felt, I want out, I want a new challenge. And if Harry Kane goes and Harry Kane kind of says, look, lads, I want out, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep him because, you know, it's certainly one that will be interesting over the next couple of months.
Let's talk briefly about Liverpool because obviously, I don't know if you had seen, but John Giles reckons that they're still in that game against Real Madrid. They're going to need one of those great magical nights in European football that we've seen from Liverpool throughout their storied history. It would help if Trent could come up with something like he came up with against Villa at the weekend. Again, same question. What's the truth about where Liverpool are at the moment?
Oh, they're kind of no man's land, really. Like, of course, look, they're still pushing for the top four. They're still in the game. Like, I know it's a tough ask. They've got an away goal. Like, if you were to be honest, could Liverpool score two goals? Yes, they could. There's no doubt in that. Even against Real, they created some chances. They just didn't take them. I think the performance of the day wasn't fantastic. They had chances. But it was just nice to see. I think it was an okay performance, but it was a brilliant result in the sense that, like, even Jurgen Klopp, I was reading something that, like, he thought they hadn't won their last four home games when it was six in the league, which just kind of shows you that they've been so dominant at home. It's going to be a very, very tough game against Real Madrid. It's going to be a big ask. It's a shame that there's not supporters there because you just felt that if supporters were at Anfield, if you remember back to some famous nights, most memorably the Barcelona game where they did turn it around. They are still in the game, but I just don't know. Can they do it? Obviously, I'll be sitting glued to it, watching it, hoping they can do it. Certainly, Liverpool are kind of, I think they're at the stage where they just need the, you know, getting it, finishing the top four, see how the Champions League pans out and just kind of hit the reset button for next season, get their, you know, defenders back and kind of regroup and they'll mount City for a, you know, a serious, you know, title challenge. But definitely they're kind of in no man's land where they're, look, they could go and win every Premier League game, finish high up, and they could go on, you know, and beat Real Madrid. You just don't know. But at the moment, I'm up in the air, but I'm positive. I'm hopeful that they can get a result against Madrid.
Is Jordan Henderson back close soon?
I don't ask. Right. I don't ask because I can't. Otherwise, if I was on here, I'd say, yeah, he's fit, but I don't know. I don't ask him. I just ask him how he is and how the kids are and that's it. Yes. We catch up that way.
That's
it's
fair
the
enough.
Best way.
Well, it's more honest that way, isn't it?
Yeah, because he knows too. He'll be like, yeah, I'm fit. And then he's like, you're going to say that on the radio, aren't you? And I'm like, I can't let you. So I just don't ask him.
Fair enough. That's the best way to go about it. As a Liverpool fan, do you think they're going to do it against Real Madrid?
Yeah, but like that's like it's like anything really. Do you know, I come on after the Ireland games, and do you know, obviously we had the, you know, the two defeats against Serbia and Luxembourg, and you're kind of like, all right, we're bottom of the group, this is awful, whatever. And I have to be hopeful. I can't live my life every day where it's just negative, negative, negative. I have to believe in something. I have to believe that Liverpool can win. All right, yeah, my mates tell me I'm deluded half the time. But like, even there was a period with Sheffield United, I had, I think it was on with Joe, and I said, you know what? I think Sheffield United might stay up. I just want to be that way. I want to live my life that way. So do I think Liverpool are going to beat Madrid and go through? Yes, I do.
Well, it's that kind of craziness that allowed Liverpool to come back against Barcelona that one time. And it's worth it for the one time that it actually does. Or in Liverpool's instance, it's not just that one time. It's it also happened in Istanbul, and it's happened regularly enough for you to be right.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But it's like anything, you know, like Manchester City fans that time when Aguero scored the goal, you have to believe. You have to have somebody to believe. If you're not believing in something, then what are you doing everything for? Like, it's all good and well, though, me believing in the players. I hope the players believe in themselves. And I know Jurgen will believe in them. And that message will be passed across in the next few days training when they're, you know, getting focused. You just want the... That's why I think the result the other day against Aston Villa was massive, to kind of get that one off their back of not winning it, you know, at Anfield in so many games. And it wasn't great. Like, the performance wasn't fantastic. It wasn't vintage Liverpool or anything. They got the job done. You know, even Trent... It's a wonderful strike, but if you look back and watch his performance in the game, he wasn't brilliant. You know, he gave away the ball too many times for my liking, and for a player of his capabilities and his range of passing, there was quite a bit, you know, that you kind of said, come on, Trent, you're better than that. But then he pops up with the winner and it's brilliant. So, you know, they'll go in off that result thinking, we have belief. And you can no doubt Jurgen will come out fighting, you know, for his team and say, you know, we're still in this game, we've got a chance. It'll be interesting. Obviously, he left out Mane the other day to try and obviously give him a rest. He hasn't been hitting, you know, the heights that we'd expect from his performances, having good in certain games, but like he's not getting the goals in return, which is very disappointing, because when his goals kind of dry up, Salah's still remaining the same. And look, we've had this conversation about Firmino for the last probably 18 months.
Yeah.
Jota's been fantastic scoring goals, so you just don't know. What did I say the other day before the Madrid game? I was on with Ian. I felt that I'd love to see him go with kind of Fabinho, Thiago, and Jota, and then play the front three. He might have to do it this time. You know, so if Jurgen, if you're listening, maybe that's the way to go.
We'll send him the clip, David. Good stuff. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
We're answering all the deep existential philosophical questions of a Monday morning here with David Myler. If you don't have belief, what's the point in anything? 8:31 this morning.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.